Lord. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Amen. In your Bible, if you have Matthew chapter 10, let me begin there at verse number 16. Bible study tonight to strengthen us. Amen. I hope to share a word that will encourage you to decide to survive. That's my title. Decide to survive. Amen. Of course, this is a Bible study, so it's a spiritual sense. Amen. I do encourage you. The election is coming up. Choose who you will vote for. And in fact, I went to vote on the very first day of early voting in Connecticut. Little line, waited a little while, got to vote. All right, I'm all done. While I was there, there was a person that came in that wasn't registered to vote. And they said, well, just step right over here. Go to this other little table, do a little thing, and then, all right, get back in the line. And same day voting in Connecticut. So even if you have not registered to vote, if it hasn't been your custom, I would encourage you, go stand in the short line first, register, and then get in the other line and do your civic duty. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pray. Excuse me, I had a cough drop in my mouth. Did you see that? I almost got away. Thing jumped right out of my mouth. Sorry about that. Do your civic duty. Amen. I encourage you, please. It's important. It's important to our society. It's important to our community. Amen. It's important to you. Amen. Matthew chapter 10, beginning to read at verse number 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and they shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the child shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Decide to survive. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. Lord, we're asking even in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would quicken my mind, my words, and Lord, help me, Lord, to say of your word right now. Thank you, Lord, for your favor. Have your way, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise the Lord. You see, Jesus, you may be seated. Jesus did not sugarcoat what he told the disciples. And he was just right up front, told them ahead of time. When he says, tear down those groves. You know, he's pretty serious. To be a Christian meant a life and death decision at that time. Christians became persecuted. And there are some Christians that were put to death. In fact, there was no such thing at that time as a casual Christian. I believe, again, there may well be a time. It isn't there yet. It's not right now. It may not even be in my lifetime. But I do believe that things are going to get worse before they get better. Amen. When this chapter begins, it seems like Christian ministry is all victory, all positive. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 1. And when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power. Someone say power. He gave them power against unclean spirits. They were able to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Man, that's pretty awesome stuff, isn't it? Man, that's really powerful. Verse number 7, Matthew 10, 7 and 8. As ye go, preach. Someone say, preach. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. God's done really good stuff for you. Do good stuff for other people. Freely, as God has blessed you, be a blessing to other people. Excuse me. Listen now, Matthew chapter 10. Go down just a little bit more. Verse number 11 in Matthew 10. And unto whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy. That means comparability, suitable, deserving. Do they deserve? Are they suitable? Are they compatible with this message? Are they receiving it? You can discern it. They like it or they don't. Inquire who in it is worthy and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into a house, salute it. Verse number 13, the next verse. And if the house be worthy, they like it. They're receiving the message. Let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, they don't like it. They're not receiving it. Let your peace return to you. That means don't get all bent out of shape if they're not receiving what God gave you. Wow. I don't know about you, but it's has spoken a lot to me. I'm supposed to keep my peace. I'm supposed to keep my peace with Jesus Christ. Amen. If other people want this message, praise God. I'm so happy. I'm glad that they received the message. It's thrilling to me. But there's sometimes people don't receive the message. Sometimes they don't walk in truth. I still have to have God's peace in me. Verse number 14. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Wow, that's scary. I know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible tells me what happened there. See, the preaching of the gospel demands a proper response. It really does. To have no response is a negative. It's not neutral. There is no neutral. The preaching of the gospel demands a proper response. You can't ignore the gospel of Jesus Christ. It requires a response. Somehow, some way. Different people, different ways. But you got to respond. You see, the very greatest blessing a person can be to you, or that you can be to someone else, is to give to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. The absolutely most valuable thing in my life is Jesus. Amen. If I can just convey who Jesus is, amen. You see, when we embrace the gospel, it should and it does bring great joy. Excuse me, I've been fighting the sinus stuff, and I might have to take a drink of water here and there. It should, it does, it will. When you have a relationship with God, when you are right with the Lord, it brings joy. Amen. Now, let me tell you about a man. I'm not going to use his name, of course. But this man, when he was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Man, and the revelation of the name of Jesus hit him. He got sad. Because he realized that all of his family they've been wrong. When the revelation, when God opened his understanding to the name of Jesus Christ, baptism in the name of Jesus, and this great salvation message, he was sad. That man didn't make it. He didn't stick around. And neither will you, and neither will anybody else, without the joy of the Lord. Yes, I know people in my own family that don't live the life that I live. But you know what? I choose to live for Jesus anyway. I choose to live for Jesus Christ anyway. And I'm happy to know who Jesus is. It's the best, the greatest, the most powerful thing that has ever happened to me in my whole life. Amen. And I'm happy to live for the Lord. I choose to live this way. I want to live this way. It is my desire to live for the Lord, to please Him. It brings joy to me. Amen. To feel His presence. Amen. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 8. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. People, it's good to understand the Word of God. It really is. Thank you for coming to Bible study. In Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept
when they heard the words of the law. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Hearing the Bible, hearing the word of the Lord, I hope is not going to make you cry. You don't have to weep over this. Well, okay. Weeping in repentance. I'll give you that. Sorry over your sin. Okay, I got it. That's good. Verse number 10. Then they said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. We really do have joy in the Lord. Amen. I hope you're happy in your living for God. That you want, that your desire is to live this way. Amen. I want to live for Jesus. Amen. Brother Joel, he's my ride to church buddy. And on the way to church today, he's like, well, who's preaching today? I said, well, I am. And man, I just got to let it out. Man, there's something inside of me that just got to let it out. I hope you got your seatbelt. Excuse me. There really is something powerful in enjoying your living for God. Nobody could possibly make you live for God. They would be unsuccessful in making someone else live for God. This is a want-to lifestyle. I got to want to live this way. I got to want to serve Jesus. I got to want to be saved. Nobody's going to end up in heaven by surprise. You're going to want to go there or you're not going to make it. Amen. See, here's another thought. There is a reason that the devil wants you moping around. Well, one, it drains you. When you're all down in the mully grubs and don't, you know, feel like it, and you're just dragging the ball and chain behind you where you go, it's taxing. It's weariness. How about analyze this? Ask yourself, what is at the root of my dissatisfaction with life? You know, when that chain's dragging on behind you, when you're really feeling down the mully grubs and you don't just feel like anything. What is at the root of that dissatisfaction in your life? Most are unhappy over their own doings, over their own failures. What they did do, or what they didn't do. But it wasn't God's fault. God is not at the center of that dissatisfaction. I can guarantee you that. Some people, man, I got so much credit card debt. Or I got habits that I just can't seem to break. You know what? That's the flesh. Don't blame God for your credit card bill. Don't blame God for your bad habit. He's trying to take you out of that thing. He's trying to deliver you from that thing. Amen. Going back to Nehemiah chapter 8, the next verse, or actually, verse number 12. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. When they finally got it, when they finally understood what the word said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Man, don't stay down there in the ditch. Come on to church and worship God. Get yourself in the place where the Spirit pours out. Amen. Find out where it's going to happen and run to get under the spout. Amen. Get yourself into the place where you're going to be in a group of people that know Jesus Christ and that will worship Him in spirit and in truth with all of their heart, their soul, their mind, their strength. Where you're going to hear the preaching of the truth of the Word of God. Put yourself into that environment. Amen. Thank God. I thank God for apostolic revelation. Amen. Truth in the Word of God. You know, I've been in it a long, long time. I've heard this truth when I was a very small boy. I can't even really tell you how long it's been other than sometime shortly after my birth, I was brought to church. But as a small child, I heard this message preached hundreds and hundreds of times. And it got into me. And I got the Holy Ghost I got baptized when I was 11 and Holy Ghost at 12. Man, it was an awesome thing. Amen. It was an awesome thing to know who Jesus is. Amen. I thank God for apostolic truth. Amen. When you really got an understanding, when you know that you know that you know, I know who Jesus is. I hope you do too. Amen. Amen. But way down inside of this guy, I know who Jesus is. Amen. When just thinking about it wants to put a little kick in my step. You know, I want to get a little life in me. Amen. Because I know who Jesus is. Amen. Nobody can convince me of any other doctrine or any other teaching or any other way. Amen. I am convinced that I know who Jesus is. Amen. And you got to get that for yourself. If I could give it to you, if I could bottle it up and hand it out, man, take two of these, man. It'll fix you up. Man, I'd give everybody the medicine. But man, you got to get this message for yourself. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse number 8 down through 10. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice, get this now, with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. I'm telling you, Isaiah would have wanted to be in my place. Amen. Those Old Testament prophets, men of old that wrote, they would have wanted to feel the presence of the Lord like I do. They wanted to experience what I have experienced. What you know to be true is what they were looking for. hope you're happy about it. Amen. I hope you appreciate it. Amen. It's not a little thing. It's a big thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a glorious thing to have this revelation of who Jesus is. To have a repented life. To have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. To have been infilled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues and experiencing the presence and the moving and the power of God. It's awesome. It's not some dry, dull, boring religion. I don't even know what that means. I don't even understand. Why would you want to go to something like that? I don't. I won't. Amen. Because I know who Jesus is. Praise the Lord. The gospel is a blessing. Holiness is a blessing. Living for God is a blessing. Proverbs chapter 22, beginning at verse 17. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto knowledge. For it is pleasant, it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge? Man, it is an awesome thing to know the Lord. Amen. It really is. It's not a small thing. It's a big thing. It's an important thing. So let me go back to Matthew chapter 10, the story there. So Jesus sent the disciples out with all this power. You would think that possessing that kind of power would surely exempt you from problematic living. That in that powerful, anointed state, you would just be able to bulldoze your way over every problem, every single thing that stood in the way. You'd just keep on living for God. That everyone that heard the message would be saved. Everyone. Imagine that. If everyone that heard the message in this church remained saved, we'd be in a coliseum somewhere. You know, there would be thousands upon thousands. But he shifted from the positive stuff to the negative stuff. You see it in our lives. There is both good and bad things that happen. Because we're carnal, we're living here on earth. You're still in the flesh, and you got to deal with the flesh. You got to deal with being a human. You got to deal with unsaved people, and you got to deal with saved people. It takes both for a balance. You got to be able to handle both, the good and the bad. You're like sheep among wolves. Don't fear the councils. Yes, it could deteriorate into some breakdown. in a relationship, maybe with a family member, maybe with a friend. It even says, you will be hated because of me. Some people don't want to hear that they're wrong, or they won't accept the truth when it's presented to them. Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for when they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. You know, yes, they did have power over unclean spirits and over devils, and they went around preaching and healing, and a great presence of the Lord was with them, and great miracles were done, and many thousands of people were saved. I mean, in the book of Acts, they're building up to, they're coming into the New Testament church, in which was a, at that time, unprecedented move of God. But there was also trouble. Even in the midst of great good, there was trouble. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. We opened up our beginning scripture said that. It is a principle that is not going to change. You have to endure the good and the bad. You got to keep living for God all the way to the end to be saved. It's a principle. A child of God must develop an enduring quality in their life. You are going to live this way. You're going to live for Jesus. You're going to live to the very best of your ability in accordance with the Word of God. Whether if everybody does or nobody does. If you're the only one, you're going to do it all by yourself. You got to have that kind of mentality. If nobody else is going to live for God, I choose to live for God. You got to have that kind of mindset. Can't be based on what mom and dad said. Can't be based on what your wife or your husband said. Can't be based on what they, whoever the they are, think. It's a principle. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. You see, one reason he consistently told us about forgiving and loving was because we are going to need each other. I think the body of Christ, the church, the family of God, we, the people of God, need each other. I need you, and you need me. Amen. We need each other to be strengthened in the Lord. To be, I rejoice when God does something special in your life. Amen. I rejoice when I hear good things are happening in the people of God. It brings me joy to know that God is doing good things. Amen. You cannot assume that the gospel offers you a problem-free life. You know, that's just a fairy tale. There is no problem-free life anywhere. Now, God helps me through my problems. I have problems. I got a scratchy throat right now. Man, I went through a whole box of tissues in the last day or so. Maybe more than a box. I don't know. But I got my ups and downs. But in it all, I know that I believe in Jesus Christ. It's not shaken. It's not for sale. It's not. You cannot be taken from me. Amen. My highest goal is that I'm going to go out of this life living for the Lord. I want to finish all the way to the end worshiping Jesus. Amen. Knowing who He is. Praise the Lord. You know, we got to learn how to handle and endure life's problems. Problems are going to come. Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them. That's an important part of this verse. And doeth them. Will I show you to whom he is like? He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when, someone say when. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Troubles are going to come. It said, when the flood came. Verse 49, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently. Same thing happened to both guys, right? Flood came. Stream beat against the house. And immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. You see, just coming to church and hearing the word, it's not enough. It's not enough just to be present. Foundations of rock are laid when you obey the word. Someone say obey. Man, when you obey the word, it's like you are building upon a solid foundation. The chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. Amen. When you base your life on the rock, the storm is not going to move you. Amen. You see, Jesus taught us to expect. He said, when the storm comes, you should be expecting a storm in your life. Storms are going to come. There is no problem-free life. Until you get to heaven, no more tears, no more pain. You know, when we get there, okay, that's a different place, right? But while we're still here, stuff is going to happen. Problems are going to come. Now, youthfulness and being young is great. I was young once. And I thought spiritually that I could just bulldoze right over the problems. Well, I needed to learn of Him. The object is not to be so spiritual as not to have problems, but it is to be spiritual enough to endure and to survive the problems that come up in life. Don't let any problem that comes up in your life remove you from the presence of God. And it would be your choice. You would have to willingly give up living for God. Nobody can make you. Just like nobody can make you live for God, no one can take you out of the hand of God either. It would be your choice. If you backslide, that's you backsliding. Oh, well, they made me. Nope. Impossible. Nobody can make you live for God, and nobody can make you give up on God either. You got to make up your mind to live for God. When the flood arose. Did you get that part? When the flood arose. He built his house assuming storms were going to come. My life is based upon, yes, I'm a man in the flesh and I'm in my 60s. I'm getting older. Stuff is going to happen. But I live for God. I want to live for God. I want to live for God. And then I want to live for God some more. Amen. Amen. And then when I get past that, I want to live for God. You get the idea. Man, I want to. Did I ever tell you I want to live for God? Amen. Praise the Lord. The other person may have assumed a storm-free life, gambled that there would be no flood. And when the flood came, catastrophe happened. The house got washed away. James chapter 1, verse number 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. See that right there in the scripture? Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. You see, no talk here of avoiding the problem. Problems are going to come. Temptations are going to arise. Verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God says not only should you endure temptations, don't blame God when you do get tempted. That's not God's fault. Endure the trial, the temptation, and you shall receive the crown of life. It's in the Word of God. You have to assume and plan for life's problems. Probably good to know a mechanic because your car is going to eventually break down. Even when you buy a brand new car, eventually you're going to have a problem. I'm not real big on spending a lot of money on credit cards. I don't think that's a good idea. But I do have one. Hope I don't use it much. Nothing will stop problems from occurring. There is not enough prayer and fasting and worshiping and giving to make problems just all go away. But those prayers and fasting, it builds a spiritual strength in us to overcome those problems. even when my vehicle breaks down, I want to find a way to church. I want to live for God. I want to be faithful to the Lord. Even when the trial comes, the temptation arrives, or even when life happens. And fasting and praying prepares us for those things in life. Every church, we are not exempt. Every marriage, every family, every relationship will have problems. Every church has backsliders, failed situations. You can't build a church spiritual enough to avoid problems. It's just impossible. Jesus said, let the wheat and the tares grow together. This gospel is for the whole field. The field is white and ready to harvest. This message is for our world today. It's to every soul out there. There's been floods, hurricanes. Just recently, sometimes you get hit by one hurricane and another one comes right the next, a week later, you get hit by another one. Life happens. Yeah, we got to pray. They need help. And we should help when we can. But having done all to stand for the Lord. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. No talk about avoiding it. I'm not trying to avoid problems. I know that God is going to help me through my problem. Amen. I got to trust God. Some things you can't escape, no matter how much you want to escape it. Not my will, but thine be done. Amen. There is not enough insurance to keep your house from burning down. Not enough insurance to keep your car from crashing. Not enough insurance to keep your body healthy. Stuff happens. And I can hold on to the rock of my salvation when storms come. I can have faith in God no matter what arises. Amen. Jesus taught us to expect storms. To survive, endure through those storms. You and I must get something way down individually. Each of us has to get it way down inside of us to sustain us. That we choose to continue living for God. You see, Paul, he had this testimony. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Life happens and God is still good. Amen. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I'm still here. You got to make up your mind. I am going to live for God no matter what life happens or what in life happens. God did not deliver him from the storm, but rather kept him from being lost in the storm. No matter what happens, Lord, no matter what comes in my life, no matter what comes or what goes, no matter what takes place in my life, I don't want to be lost. I can't afford to be lost. God, keep me in your safe hand. Amen. One of the really great verses, one to really get a hold of, is right here. Romans chapter 1, verse number 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know, there's a part of me also that recognizes just how great God is. You know, I've marveled at the new telescopes that look along. That's just, no matter how far they say they can see, I know God put that there. God in his greatness put that there. Amen. He made the stars also. Or how small, you know, when they look at the atoms or the portions of the atom and they, you know, look down at the very, very small, minute things that make up, God in his wisdom put that there. Amen. I'm in awe at from the small to the great, just the complexity and the marvelous miracles that God placed in nature. I've read that it takes 50 leaves on a peach tree to make one peach. Or 30 leaves on an apple tree to make one apple. And yet, man, there's leaves. Man, my yard is full of leaves. Leaves all over the place. God is good. Amen. I don't know about you, but I can see God, the wonderful works of God in his creation. Amen. Corn and watermelon only require a single seed to grow up a whole new plant. And from that plant can come very many new seeds. And one stalk of corn, and there's, I don't know, 3 ears, I think, on a single stalk. How many kernels of corn are on that stalk? How many seeds in a watermelon? I don't know, but a whole bunch. Some people eat them, some people spit them out, but there's a bunch. Tell you what, I want to be that one that falls into the ground and brings forth good fruit. I want the Lord to be pleased with my life. Amen. I want God to receive glory.
out of the good things he's done for me. Amen.
Not everybody's going to make it. Not everybody that hears this message is going to live for God. Some fish lay 50,000 eggs. You know, when they, you know, put their eggs out. Imagine 50,000 eggs. Some big fish lay 50,000 eggs. Of those 50,000, maybe 5 will make it to adulthood, to be a mature fish that lays eggs again. 5 out of 50,000. I don't know about you, but I want to be one that makes it. I want to be one that is going to make it all the way to heaven. Amen. Stand with me. I got one closing verse. I'm going to close with this. Man, I want to make it. I want to make it. Jesus, I want to make it. Lord, I want to make it all the way to heaven. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 3, my closing portion of Scripture. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Get this now. I have kept the faith. Amen. When all of this life is finally done, keep your faith. Would you love him with me? Lord, I love you, Jesus. I thank you. Wonderful Savior. Lord, help me, God, to keep this faith, Lord. Lord, help me to decide to survive spiritually, to decide to live for you, to decide, Lord, to walk with you and talk with you and to love you, to worship you, to give praise unto your name. For Jesus, you alone are worthy to be praised. Jesus, I love you. I thank you. I magnify your name. Precious, holy God, I love you, Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord, for keeping us, your people, in your hand. In Jesus' precious name, praise the Lord. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.